WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
You got tools in your religion, all designed to keep you safe. When rules start getting broken, you start questioning your faith.
It's Sunday night, you know what it means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live at twitch.tv/WTRLive and wildtalkradio.com. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy all the Star Wars Wookiees and Landos and Legos and music and cars and all the Star Wars stuff you can handle. Because hashtag epic partner. There might be Cinco de Mayo stuff. I don't think they go that far. Anyway, I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, a.k.a. Revenge of the Fifth, a.k.a. the day after Star Wars Day, y'all.
No. Now you're just making up more Star Wars Days that don't even exist.
It's actually called Revenge of the Fifth.
It's not a real thing. It's made up. It's not real.
But it's Revenge of the Fifth.
It's not, though.
A.K.A. also Cinco de Mayo.
That's real. Anything else is not. Anyway. We also have one Keishi Matsunaga.
Totally to pile on, but I've always been more of a Revenge of the Sixth type of person. Because yeah, it sounds more like Sith. And it doesn't take away from Cinco de Mayo.
Right. I mean, I fully believe it should be Revenge of the Sixth. Because you get Star Wars Day, then you get Cinco de Mayo, then you get the extra Star Wars Day.
And six and Sith sound more like each other.
Yeah.
It just it's still not real. Still I mean, not real.
Well, Star Wars Day is technically not real either, but here we are.
I know. I was saying this yesterday. I was saying it's not real either then, but here we are.
But why take away from the fun of things?
You
Rocket, it is kind of real in a galaxy far, far away.
And then let's stay in a far, far away, and Tim is extremely low that we cannot hear. And he hasn't been even introduced yet. Your mic is really low, and you haven't even been introduced yet, so and then raise it up so we can actually hear you. We go, the one and only Tim Stein. Yeah, so his mic's still low. But we'll get to him in a minute. Yes, because he's going to just tell me that Star Wars Day is real and all the real things about Star Wars Day. I know. It's not
Space Trek.
No.
It's Space Trek.
Trek Wars, get it right. Trek Wars. So, not a thing. Anyway, what was the thing was Backlash, which took place yesterday on the WWE Network live in France.
Yeah, you know what wasn't low for that? The damn crowd.
The crowd was so loud.
They earned... So, for those of you who... I mean, we're going to just talk about this throughout the whole thing, but just to touch on it right now. Holy shit, that crowd was amped, you know, louder than I've ever heard.
They were getting warnings.
We're talking about, like, you know, post-WrestleMania crowds. We've talked about how crazy they are. When you watch SmackDown from France, you were just like, oh, this is going to be something. Because when Jey Uso came out on SmackDown, everybody was going nuts. And that wasn't even the premium live event.
It was like 105 decibel level or something like that at one point.
Yeah, what was it? Michael Cole said ever since like the hour before the PLE started when everyone came in, they were getting the decibel warning.
They were popping. They were excited, Keish. Okay. He's chilled out waiting for to talk about it.
Tim is still really, really low.
Yeah, that crowd was wild.
Yeah.
I mean, when you are a place that does not get not only just like televised WWE events, but PLEs hardly ever, you know that it can either go one of two ways. And this is the way that we all hope for when a crowd is just like so excited, so happy that something that's not just a European tour house show comes to their town and they get to like go off. It was the best.
It elevated the show.
Oh, yeah. No, it took it up a couple of notches from where... Because, I mean, matches were good, but everyone for this show is going to talk about
the good
absolute
roll.
Environment that was there.
Jabariza Babe just subscribed for 29 months.
I messaged Rock and Lindsay during the show.
You take away his credit card.
Thanks, Jersey, for 29 months. No. Texas speech was going.
Gotcha. My bad.
Anyway...
I messaged Rock and Lindsay and I said, like, you know, Berlin and Scotland got put on notice for this show because you saw France and it's like, okay, you know, Scotland's the next big one aside from Saudi. You guys better bring it or, you know, you're going to get overlooked again.
No. Local crowd here in the States, every crowd. See that. Do it.
Yeah.
Well, what was it? There was the report coming out that apparently, like, Nick Khan messaged Hunter during the show and was like, we need to look at a stadium in France.
Yeah.
Which is a big move, but at the same time, if they did this for an arena show, imagine what it's going to be like if they get like one of the Champions League stadiums.
I mean, and, Tim, that would be something, wouldn't it? Nope. Still low. It's still low, Tim. You gotta jack it up some more. Anyway, you had a point, Keish.
Did I have a point?
You were going to say something, I think.
I was just laughing at Tim. but, I mean, Brent's not wrong. You get a crowd like that in an arena, it very much makes the likelihood of them coming back and going into a bigger stadium so that some of those people who couldn't get tickets for those arena shows can get in for that stadium show. And it's like it lets WWE know that there is a market to come back and it will be viable and they'll be more likely to do it. So then places like France and hopefully Scotland will get shows more often.
And they keep talking about how this is the new evolution of what they want to do. And Hunter talked about it in the press conference.
Excuse me.
There you go.
There he is.
All right. Hunter talked about it where they want to take the PLEs like more outside of the U.S. in terms of, hey, the big four are going to be stateside, or the big five are going to be stateside. Everything else, it's going to be international. We got Toronto has Money in the Bank. We got the Scotland one. We have Saudi. Berlin. We have Berlin. We have all these things coming up where it's like they're going to be outside of the U.S. It's like, be loud when you do.
Okay,
because that way they'll come back.
Introduce me now, and then I'll just like say stuff.
Okay, cool. Well, I was going to, but okay. Here's Tim Stein.
Well, you could have finished. I was just letting you know.
Tim, what are your thoughts on the loudness of the crowd?
Well, before we get into that, it's daylight. I just want to honor Star Wars Day. And
no, it's not a thing.
Just shut up. You know, like to let everybody know on Star Wars Day, I didn't forget it. We weren't on. But I just want to say, in honor of Star Wars Day, live long and prosper.
Ba-dum-boom.
Did you guys hear that WWE was given a noise warning in France?
I didn't hear the noise warning, but also especially being in the U.S. But the iPhone was popping off.
They received SmackDown Friday night, same arena. They were given a noise violation warning.
We talked about this the start.
Yes, the crowd was absolutely off the hook. It was fantastic. And yeah, if that's what they're going to do for Backlash in an arena, get an outdoor stadium, an open stadium. And over in Europe, they've got those stadiums available. The beautiful game, as they call it, soccer as we know it in North America, football as it's actually called. They've got the venues for the crowds.
When it gonna answer the question in chat? Means you can have hearing damage, hearing loss, because the sound's too high. That's why they send the warnings. Not in trouble. It can do something to you in the building. You could suffer from it because it's so loud. So it's warning you.
For long periods of time.
Yep. It's a warning like that. That's what it's all about.
My apologies for me not being clear on that.
The one thing especially that the crowd did was they made the event must see, not just for people at home experiencing it, but like you talked about, the fact of if you were in the arena and you were part of it, it felt special, so that next time if you do come into a stadium, you've now got that absolute draw of like, I have to go and be a part of this. I want to be in that crowd, you know, doing the chants and everything. And you can tell from the performers, they appreciated it. Like, Kevin was the first one out, and he just soaked it in.
Yeah, you saw all of them soak it in. Kevin did, Randy did. We'll talk about his. It was like, you talk about his entrance.
Oh, God.
They were singing along for him.
Yeah, and not just like the one piece. Because it's you know, normally it's like, oh, you know, they may hit like this lot, like the crescendo line or something. Oh, no, they did the entire freaking song. And you can see Randy looking around like, is this really happening?
Yeah, it was something else.
Yeah, it really was. And we started out hot for the show. It was Randy and Kevin versus the Bloodline. Traditional tag match, Brent. Traditional tag match.
That lasted for 10 seconds when Kevin Owens opened his damn mouth. He got up in Tama Tonga's face, said one phrase, and then shit went off the rails.
The bell didn't even ring. They started brawling. Nick Aldis came out and was like, you guys just want to go? So just go. Here's a street fight. Have at it. I thought, that was a very different way to open a PLA for WWE, where you change the match and stuff like that, that quick. I thought it was the right idea.
What's going to happen?
It was the right idea.
Yeah, this was the perfect match if you were going to be like, you know what? Fuck it. We're just going to let you guys beat the hell out of each other and go. And you saw the production in this match as well, where before you'd have that weird, and we talked about this, you'd have that weird jump around between like, oh, these guys are fighting, and then they're fighting over here. I really like the split camera where it's like, they could go on opposite sides of the arena, but yet you could still see them both at the same time. And it was just like, okay, I can see everything that needs to happen.
Yeah, that was a super nice touch. And then like having like when Kevin was running across, having the one view of him like running towards Randy, and I want to say it was Solo, but then like seeing in the other screen him like showing up from like both angles and hitting at the same time, that was super cool. And then for a little bit, it was like it was the same camera on both screens for a little bit.
Yeah, that was a weird kind of thing. But I also liked the fact of, so you had, as you said, the action shot of Kevin just sprinting across the arena to get his shots in. But I liked also at that there was that bit of chaos moment where the camera was on Randy and he's just sitting there going, where the hell is everyone?
Yeah.
And the other camera's just focused on, you know, Kevin getting the beat down. And then Randy, of course, pops out of nowhere at that point and joins in the fracas. And
yeah, that whole thing was really well done.
It was. The production values were top-notch. The action was intense. You got tables, Singapore cane. It was...
And another good production element was... when Randy did the RKO to Solo on the regular announce table, not the poor French announce table, that thing got worked that night or that day. But when they got the shot of Randy giving Solo the RKO, they had the regular shot, and then they had that kind of elevated shot, which, I mean, I'm used to seeing that kind of thing from, like, the NFL when they do the kind of top-down of, like, we're going to show you how this play unfolds. And we've talked about how they do, like, a more of a sports-based filming of this kind of stuff. But I thought it was a really nice touch of getting, like, a new kind of action angle for that move.
Yeah, but in the end, numbers now caught up to Kevin and Randy, as the Bloodline had a new addition, didn't they?
He was a little late.
No, maybe he fell asleep while he was under the ring like Hornswoggle used to.
I just love the fact that the referee, if you watch the video, pulled himself out of the ring because it was just a skosh late.
Yeah, it happens. It's trying to get out from underneath the ring and then doing it.
Probably had to move like a bunch of garbage cans and chairs and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Casey could give us a little more insight on Mr. Tongaloa.
Tongaloa, for anybody who's really savvy, formerly known as Camacho in NXT, left WWE. I can't remember whether it was a release or he just...
It was probably released, what, 10 years ago?
Something like that.
After Hunico became Sin Cara.
That's what it was. And then so he decided to join his brother, Tama Tonga, over in New Japan, and they formed the Bullet Club tag team, the Guerrillas of Destiny, a very highly decorated tag team. They won the New Japan tag titles on multiple occasions. And at some point, I believe he got injured because I hadn't seen him for quite a bit, and I want to say it was an injury. And obviously, at some point... his contract either expired or they decided not to bring him back because there he was climbing out from under the ring.
His contract expired a couple months ago, or at least the deal was in place a couple months ago to return to WWE when they signed Tama Tonga. So it was a joint package bringing them both in. And he finished up, I think, at the end of March in New Japan.
And he tore his MCL. That was the injury.
That's what it was, yeah.
So this has been a plan for a while. It was not the person everyone thought was coming.
No, a nice Jacob Fatu misdirect.
Yep.
I mean, so they could still bring him in, but it was kind of nice to have, like, they were kind of like dangling Jacob Fatu over with one hand and then like under the radar tucking in Tongaloa so that, you know, you've got both of the Haku boys coming in to probably run very violent roughshod or Solo.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, and as you had mentioned earlier, and I mean, we got a little bit of the call out earlier in the day from the pre-show when Big E dropped the name Guerrillas of Destiny in New Japan. So, like, you know, maybe we should have seen writing on the wall at that point. But
might have, but I don't think they knew. But
yeah, that too. But the nice thing about this is we've seen with Hunter that, you know, he's putting a little bit more of an emphasis back on tag team wrestling. We've got groups like A-Town Down Under. You've got New Catch Republic. You've got Street Profits. I mean, hell, you have enough of a tag division on both shows that you can run two belts now.
Yeah.
And every team is different, too.
Yeah, but now you're introducing this tag team from New Japan, you know, this storied tag team from New Japan that's going to come in and possibly, like Casey said, run roughshod or just be absolutely violent. And, I mean, if you want to, you've got Gallows and Anderson to kind of give that little bit of a bridge, or you can tie in history with them.
Oh, they can have a battle for the Magic Killer. Well, because when... when Gallows and Anderson left New Japan, the Gorillas of Destiny started using that as a finisher. So you can have that, you can kind of have that in there a little bit too, if you really wanted to run a Bullet Club pseudo civil war thing, or I don't know. Yeah. One of them will have to figure out how that's going to work.
But it's nice to see that, because we had been wondering, like, okay, if Jacob comes in, is it going to be like three solos? Is it going to be, and not solo Sokoas, but three solo acts?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to have some kind of amalgamation of like, okay, these guys will be a tag, and then maybe solo is out there as, you know, the feature solo act. But now you're like, okay, we have the established tag team, if we want, of Gorillas of Destiny. And then they can link up with Solo to be a six-man. And if Jacob comes along, then you possibly have a War Games team right there. But you're filling out this faction in a way that can, you know, give them opportunities moving forward, while also playing the fact that Paul has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, which does nice little subtle hints at possibly a Bloodline Civil War further down the road.
Mm-hmm. But Bloodline is getting stronger. Bloodline is getting stronger. I guess that's the biggest takeaway we can say from the match. It was really good, though.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was perfect. Like, making it a street fight was a really good touch.
And we talked about last week going into this match, Randy and Kevin are not hurt by this at all.
No, that's the nice thing about making it a street fight.
They're stronger now, because now they got to look for revenge.
Right, and now it's like, okay, as you said, the numbers jumped for the Bloodline. There's now three of them, so what happens with Kevin and Randy? Who do they call? Who are they going to need to kind of rely on to fight this fight moving forward?
There was an interesting backstage little, you know, stare down with Jay and the Bloodline.
And Jay and Paul.
Paul, yeah. There's subtle hints about it.
But blink if you need help, Paul. Blink, for the love of God.
Paul looks so distraught. I almost feel bad for him.
This is his own doing, in a sense.
Yep.
This is what, you know, he's been the wise man, and he's talked about the fact of like, oh yeah, you know, Roman's here, and I provide counsel. But what happens when Roman goes away? Now all of a sudden it's, are you really a wise man, or is it just, we're keeping you around because we want to? And it's, at that point, Paul has no power, and it's just, oh God, what do I do?
Mm-hmm. So, Bloodline came out on top. Up next, the women were action. Bayley, Tiffany Stratton, and Naomi. They do love their girl, Bayley.
Boy, do they ever.
They loved all three girls.
Yeah, but Bayley got that Bayley chant.
Yeah, hey, we want some Bayley.
They're girl.
All three of them got positive reactions coming in to the ring,
which is what you want. And Tiffany was over at the press conference. It's interesting, they were booing Naomi a little bit. Then she came out, and then it was all cheers at the press conference. But yeah, this was a really good match with all three girls, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
This was the better of the women's matches.
Well, yeah, this one seemed like they had more of an interplay between the three girls.
Mm-hmm.
Normally when you have a triple threat match, you've got that kind of like, okay, two people fight and one person's kind of out of it. And then that third person will come in and someone else will take it. With this, it seemed a lot more like, okay, I'm going to work over this person, but still, you know, attack this other person to keep them involved, so that it wasn't just an isolated an extended one-on-one match with a third person that kind of chimes in every so often.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It was, and the crowd's investment kept you invested, and they told some nice stories throughout, and believable near falls.
Oh yeah, the nice thing about this is you've had you have three champions involved in this match, so it's all credible. I mean, I know Tiffany was the NXT champion, but she had a good reign. She's had matches with Becky. She was part of the Elimination Chamber, so she's been elevated. Naomi's been a multi-time world champion in this federation as well as TNA. And then Bayley has a pedigree NXT and WWE that, you know, is Hall of Fame worthy already. So when it came to this match, yeah, it was like anyone in theory could have come out of this with the belt, and you would have been like, yeah, no, I totally believe this.
Yep.
And I thought the finish was good because it allowed Naomi to take the fall, but it was a surprising fall, which kept the babyfaces sort of, you know, united. So, hey, you got the better of me. You didn't hit your finish, but you snuck one out on me.
That's what I think sold it, was the fact of, like, Naomi, as soon as the pin hit, just kind of looked over at Bayley and was just like, God damn it, you got one.
Yeah. I like the way that they played that out, is like, not just, well, it's, you know, you take out that one person in a triple threat, and then they're just gonna just, I don't know how to put it, but like, kind of like, even though they're both good, you take out the bad guy, but then one of them is still gonna do something sort of screwy. But right before they're about to lead off, they're like, let's go, we said this is how it's gonna work, let's do it. Kind of in a way that like Kevin and Randy did at Mania, but a little bit more friendly.
Yeah, it was that. Okay, we're gonna fight now. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a nice touch, and it wasn't that kind of screwy. Someone hits their finisher, you grab the person, throw them out of the ring, and jump on for the kind of quick pin that we've seen in other triple threats as well. It was just Bayley hit that bat or hit that crucifix / backslide, and it was like, yep, okay, here's the end of it. Although, I think we were all conditioned at that point of, like, the cameras sticking on Bayley and Naomi a little too long. We're like, oh, God, is something going to happen here? And it faded, and I was like, okay, no, never.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, when they don't do it, it's like, oh, okay. Which makes you believe, now you have to think twice going, oh, it's just lingering, then nothing's going to happen. And then when it does happen, you're actually caught off guard at that point.
And it's like, oh, God damn it, you got me now.
that's pretty good. Good way to do it. Anything else you would like to add to the match, Tim?
Oh, it was really, really good. Very, very well planned out, executed. What's the word I'm fishing for?
Good booking.
It was great booking. And Naomi taking the pin from her, you know, best friend, doesn't hurt Naomi, keeps Tiff safe. By not having her involved in it at all. You know, Bayley stays on top with that monster behind her. That was the crowd.
Crowd was really into it. Crowd was really into it.
Oh, come on. The crowd was really into everything all night long. Well, all day long. It was fantastic. And you could tell that all of the wrestlers were fed off of it too.
Yeah,
it was like the look on, like going back a little bit, you know, back to the beginning match. The look on Randy's face when they sang the entire freaking song, even after it shut off.
Learn them lyrics.
One of the things that really got me, or that I noticed in this match, how athletic Tiffany really is.
Well, she's a former Olympic gymnast, isn't she?
Yeah, but what I was going to say is, when she went for her moonsault and Naomi and Bayley rolled out of the way, the effortless way that she did
landed
the moonsalt,
yeah,
landed on her feet and then tumbled back, and it looked amazing. It was one of those things where it's like, people give WWE grief for signing, you know, oh, athletes that aren't professional wrestlers, but this is one of those moments where it's like, no, this works in their favor because she can pull off something like that, and you go, holy
wow.
Shit. Yeah, there wasn't a stumble at all. It was just hit her feet, backflip, and it was like, oh.
Very okay, fluid. Yeah. Very fluid.
And it's the same kind of thing with Bianca. Just her natural athletic ability in matches lets her just kind of carry forward and flow, and you just... It's really nice to see that it's like, okay, yeah, she can transition really well between stuff.
Yeah,
well, there's a reason why she was NXT champion.
Indeed. But Bayley is still your women's champion over on SmackDown. The World Heavyweight title was on the line. Damian Priest and Jey Uso.
Now, my big conundrum here, were they making Jey look really, really good, or were they making Damian look weak?
I wouldn't say they made Damian look weak.
Yeah.
We're on the same page, the three of us. What do you think, intern?
This wasn't Damian looking weak. This was elevate. I mean, Damian performed very well.
Nobody's disputing he didn't perform well.
Right.
We're saying that they made him look weak as a champion.
No.
I didn't say that. He looked weak.
I didn't say he looked weak. I said they weren't making him look weak.
Oh. Casey, did you say that they made him look weak?
No.
Okay, then I'm the only one? Jesus.
You're the only one.
Okay, well, look, I'm not saying that he didn't perform well. It's just, you know, are they trying to elevate Jay, make Jay look like an actual major credible threat? Or did it step down with Damian? Now, this is not necessarily a bad thing, because it alludes to the interference by the rest of the Judgment Day. Damian said, don't come out. They came out. They almost hurt him in trying to help him.
Well, that's the thing. It's not making Damian look weak. It's reinforcing the issues within Judgment Day that have been there for a long time. It's just a matter of things got squelched a little bit when they got the tag belts because okay.
I'm just saying, I think you're missing what I'm saying. I don't mean that. Okay, like they're trying. They want to make sure that Jay looks like credible and strong and believable, right?
Uh huh.
And in that situation, I firmly believe that was mission accomplished. When I say that they're making Damian look weak, I don't mean as a wrestler. I don't mean as anything he did in that ring last night. But as the Raw champion and the leader, de facto leader of Judgment Day, with everything going on, that makes him look weak overall. Like, they're building towards the destruction of the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
But I still don't see him being weak, because he's actually out there, you know, telling his boys to stop, telling his boys to stay out of his business. Them disobeying is different.
Here's the thing. The strong leader shouldn't have to continue keep saying it and then get ignored.
Well, here's the whole thing that they're going to do with this story. Who brought JD into the group? It was Finn. So Finn and JD are always going to have that connection. Damian is just going to look at Finn, and part of what I think is going to happen is Damian's going to look at Finn and go, "I brought you in." And Finn's going to get offended at that, because the idea was, when Finn came in, that's when they changed direction and dropped Edge. But you're going to have the power struggle, and it's not making Damian look weak, as Rock's talking about. It's you're setting up just the overall struggle of, you have Damian, you've got Finn and JD as kind of a package deal, since, like I said, Finn brought him in. And then you've got Rhea and Dom that are kind of off on their own doing their thing, which currently right now is convalescing.
Yeah. Rhea comes back, she's going to be a monster baby face.
But yeah, I don't think Damian's looking weak. I think he's actually been elevated. He's looking like, to me, he's being positioned like a Kevin Nash.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's kind of the vibes I'm getting off of him the last few weeks. A diesel Kevin Nash type top guy vibe. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But Damian retained. Judgment Day helped. Jey Uso had an awesome entrance, though.
Boy, did he ever.
God, that crowd for his... I mean, we keep talking about the crowd, but the absolute just, like... There's something about when, like, the entire crowd is in unison doing the yeet hand gesture with the iPhone lights. That's mesmerizing.
Mm-hmm.
And with this... It made him live up to the name Main Event Jey Uso, because it felt like a big match for him.
Well, how many of those chants were you able to understand?
All the ones in English.
I mean, I've learned that This Is Awesome is French, so
don't need to understand it to enjoy it.
Yeah,
I got a kick out of the crowd counting along with the ref. Un, deux, trois.
That threw me off the first time I heard it.
Yeah,
I was like, wait, oh yeah, right. We're in France.
What was it? It was, they would also do like one, two, almost three, I think was the one when it was like a two count.
Oh, is that what it was?
It was something where they had, because it's something that the announcers, I guess, say in French, where it's just like, oh, you know, almost a three count. And so that's what the crowd was chanting for, like the close pins, was like one, two, almost three. Oh.
That makes sense.
Never change, Leon. Never change.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Brent, almost in French is presque. P-R-E-S-Q-U-E. Presque. So you might have heard him say that a couple of times.
Yeah, a few.
So there you go. Up next, the women's tag titles were on the line. Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane, taking on Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. This was going good till it didn't, and I wouldn't blame the workers. I blame the ref.
Someone got lost in the match, and then while they were trying to get back on track, it got a little bit. What's the word I'm looking for? It took them a little bit to get on track, and it was not quite as crisp as we've seen before when people have gotten lost. That's what I'll say.
But they figured it for a second.
Part of the problem is, and it just absolutely two different classes, and I can't take anything away from any of them over that match. But you had the Kabuki Warriors doing the Kabuki Warrior thing, and Japanese trained wrestling is a slightly different animal than North American trained wrestling, right, Keishi?
I guess, I mean, it can be, yeah. I was kind of more chalking it up to in-ring experience more than anything else.
That played into it as well, but getting into the dichotomy and the difference, the Kabuki Warriors are all about speed, right?
Yes.
And they were too fast for Jade and Bianca as a team. And it just like, okay, who's dumbing down what they're doing for the other team? Which team is dumbing down for the other one? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was that bad overall, though. Just kind of those 2 to 3 minutes in there when they kind of got lost or there was a miscommunication.
Language barrier plays a part in it somewhat too.
That also probably what contributed to it not being as seamless as we've seen in the past. Because, yes, like you say, like, you know, even though I'm sure Kairi and Asuka can speak English, it is still like in the heat of the moment in a match like that, can't always get across what you're trying to portray with a little bit of a language barrier. And even if they use Carney, I don't think they would have been able to do it properly because of the language barrier. If Bianca and Jade were wrestling two other wrestlers that could speak English as a first language. Lindsay also makes a good point with the crowd noise, which can also cause problems with being able to hear the other person that you're working with if they're trying to kind of get things back on track. I mean, there are also advantages to it, like Kairi and Asuka can just yell whatever they want at each other and most people won't know what they're saying. So they could literally just like talk at a normal volume. That doesn't help when Jade's in the ring. If Bianca was in there when everything went down, I don't think we'd be talking about it the same way we would. And like I say, that just comes down to experience. So,
yeah, repetition in the ring. She doesn't have all those matches that the others have.
And I like if you go back and look at the matches that she's had in the past, something like that's never happened to her. So then you've got her in uncharted waters and doesn't have the experience of what to do in a situation like that. You're working with two people whose first language is not English. Like it was kind of like a Murphy's Law of things to go wrong in that match. So like, I'm not going to shit on Jade because like the biggest thing is what happens after this. If something like this happens again, then we can kind of see how she handles it and we can go from there. For this time, I'm 100% willing to give her a little bit of leeway. I've been in that situation where I was in a match and I completely spaced as to what was going on next. And luckily I was in there with some other experienced guys. They got me back on track. I mean, we didn't have the type of crowd. Neither one of us had a language barrier, so it went a lot smoother. So it's just one of those things of like, now she's got it under her belt. And hopefully she just takes that forward, and the next time it happens, it won't be a problem.
You learn from it.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
I was going to say, I think Jade's one of the kind of people that she's going to kind of take this as a lesson and be like, okay, so this happened. next time I'll make sure to do dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, it'll probably be like any time she made some mistake doing, what was it? She was track?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure she made mistakes doing track. And what do you do when you make a mistake? You go back to the drawing board, you figure out how to make it better, and you come back stronger. She seems like the type of person to do that. So I'm not worried.
And we've seen worse. We're in those situations. They kept it together as best they could.
Yeah, it wasn't stop, reset, spot. It was just kind of roll with it.
Yeah, they figured it out, but it. I thought the ref just, I don't know, kind of screwed up a little too. It just, all the parties just needed to figure it out, I guess.
Yeah. But we did get an example of Jade's power in that match. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that one sequence right near the end.
Yeah, we saw it before in AEW with Sky Blue, that exact set of moves. But the transition she was able to pull off with Kairi to do that looked amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes Jade look like a beast in a good way.
Yeah.
But we come out of it with new tag team champions.
I fist bumped.
Well, and like we had talked about last week, this now gets Jade on both shows.
Yep.
So
star power.
Yeah, star power. And it, I mean, the one thing I will say about all of this that's also a benefit, more reps.
Indeed.
If she's featured on both shows, she's going to get more time in that ring, which is going to make her even better.
And time with everybody so that she can get used to working with all of the women. So then no matter what happens in the future, she'll be able to have great matches with all the women.
You know, the only suggestion I have is bring Natty in and partner Natty up with somebody and let them have a tag match with Natty and Natty's partner.
Natty's been working with her already, so I don't know if needing to do a tag team thing is the right thing. I think Natty has other business with people in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she does. But, you know, it doesn't have to be immediate. But working with Jade, slightly different than working a match in front of a crowd. I mean, there's practice, and then there's you're going for real.
Well, and like Keishi and Rock were talking about, the fact of, you know, there's a lot of different styles within the women's division right now, just like the men's division, but she's going to be able to face the Caseys, which is going to be kind of like a Kabuki Warrior, where it's fast-paced, fast-moving, and she'll be able to you'll be able to see, like, did she learn from the match Everything. At Backlash?
Yeah.
She'll have matches with possibly Shayna and Zoe, which is going to be a little more hard-hitting. But again, the more she's exposed to different styles, the better I think she's going to be in the end.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right, main event, AJ Styles challenges Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship. Went well.
Mm-hmm.
That damn song. That damn song for AJ.
Do we not like it?
No, I just thought it was funny that it's like the crowd starts singing this song, and then it takes Corey kind of coming out going, so the reason for it is the song is about phenomenal. So anytime AJ does something good, we're probably going to hear it. And of course, throughout the entire match, like AJ hits a big move, the song hits. And you're just like, all right.
Oh, I didn't catch that part. But now that it explains a lot.
Yeah. It was a nice quirk in that match because it's like you had that, but then the crowd was still cheering for Cody being the face. It was just a matter of like, well, wait, if it's the phenomenal thing, we've got to do it. It's a local thing.
They were showing respect to the heels while cheering for the faces. But they weren't showing respect for the whole the entirety of the match. They were showing their respect and admiration for, you know, air quotes, the moves when they hit. And that's just another thing about the crowd that it sort of reminded me a little bit of some Japanese crowds and some Canadian crowds. Every now and then they shut the fuck up and watch, and then at the end of the move set, then they pop and make their noise. And they were doing that half, like throughout the night. And it was really, really evident in the main event. At least that's what I caught.
Mm-hmm. So AJ Styles became the first person to face Cody and Dusty for a world championship.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good. It's a good place to be in history.
Yeah.
Speaking of history, this is the first match since June of 2022 that ended clean without interference.
Oh, like a title match, like the world title match.
Yes, yes, the title match.
Another fact that AJ recreated kind of his color scheme from the time he did face Dusty for the NWA title.
God damn. For a second, I thought it was Taker.
It was the throwback to his old gear when he fought Dusty for the NWA title in TNA.
Yeah, they'd mentioned that.
I thought it was also a shot at, because Ruck, correct me if I'm wrong, for Taker's first match, the Survivor Series, was Dusty involved with that?
I don't remember. But he was wearing gray, not purple.
Yeah,
no,
purple
he had purple on the boots.
I thought he was gray. His color scheme. Purple was the color scheme he used after he beat himself. Like fake Taker at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
96?
94.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. I don't remember if Dusty was in the Survivor Series match, but because the original Taker was black and gray.
Right.
And you had black and purple, and then we go from there. No, I didn't think the black and purple looks Taker, but I didn't connect it with the being Taker. Them saying, calling out the gear. I immediately Googled the picture and was like, okay, yeah, I could see. Because he was wearing the shorts, but they were black and purple with the styles on it. It was a recreation, kind of, the color scheme. Not a full, like, you know, throwback, because he's not wearing the short shorts anymore. I don't think he's going to want to do that again. But yeah, Cody retained. Well, it sounded like got dinged up a little bit, but it was a really good match. It was a good traditional wrestling match to close out a wrestling show for a WWE championship.
He was.
Okay. But, yeah, I mean, this is what you're going to get in the Cody era. You're going to get clean wrestling finishes probably for a few months of all the guys he beats.
God, that's AJ selling that super Cody cutter. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. It was wild.
AJ just did a complete front face plant to sell that, but it looked nice.
It was. But Cody retains. No, I don't think anyone was surprised by that. Overall, enjoyable, 3 hours?
Yeah.
Everything had a nice pace to it. Everything didn't get rushed.
It was just shy of 3, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And going back to the girls' tag match, if we had more matches on the show and they screwed up and had a rush to a finish, it would have been worse. Because they had time to breathe, I think it helped them, even though they were struggling, let it play out. Because if they had, we got 2 more minutes left, and they were trying to really scramble, things could have got worse. So having the time to, figure it out, and with these, the B-level shows, B-level premium live events, where you get 5-6 matches on them, compared to your Manias and SummerSlams, where you're going to be a loaded card, I think is a good idea. So you everything gets a moment, and you're not getting 5-minute matches.
And you aren't shoehorning a match in just to fill out a card as well.
Yeah, you let everything breathe and everything work.
Yeah, this one didn't need an extra match or two, that's for sure. It worked.
Indeed. All right, Brent.
Housekeeping. So we have... Housekeeping! So we have 13 people participating in our pick'ems this week, or this event. In 13th place, going 2-3, so just shy of 500, was Sarah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Sarah. Next up, tied for 9th at 3-2, so just over 500. We have 8-Ball, The Wheel of Fun, Rob and Sub. So the inanimate objects.
Don't know that.
Tied
Rob
in eighth. In 8th place, all by her lonesome, going 4-1, is Sheila.
Where did he, Sheila?
Which then means tied for first place are
5-0.
At 5-0, hang on. Chris P, myself, Casey, Lindsay, Rock, Tim, and Tommy C.
Dun, ta, da, ta.
Very predictable show.
Well, yeah.
That's what this one was down to. Very predictable show. But that is it. But that's our show.
That's it. That's all she wrote. We're done for tonight, but tomorrow, immediately following Raw, is the post show.
It is indeed the Raw post show. The start of the new era of Monday Night Raw, because it's a new, all new roster-ish.
And the kickoff to the King and Queen of the Ring tournaments.
Yep. Should be fun. We'll talk about it on the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
And then, of course, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern, is the Multi-Time Multi-Award-winning Rock Radio Show with Multi-Time Multi-Award-winning certified voice artist, Lindsay Ward.
We'll have news, notes, and we'll talk some backlash this Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
I know I'm several days late. Happy belated birthday, Lindsay.
There you go. Friday, though, it's GM Battles, 10 p.m. Eastern. Then we're live Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for WTR Game Night. Probably playing Uno. We had our Fortnite in. Frank got his Xing Xings in.
No, well, I didn't get the Xing Xings in because we didn't get a lightsaber.
You got the Pew Pews.
Yeah, I got a bowcaster and a blaster, and I got some water bending.
You guys got Pew Pews?
So we'll probably play Uno this Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern for Game Night, followed by CB Radio. 11:30 PEW,
chat, get it right.
11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio. Who knows what we'll talk about? We'll talk about something at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Might come up with ideas throughout the week, in which case people should follow WTR on all the socials.
At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. WTR Sunday on the Twitter and the Facebooks. Tim?
Twitter? Bookster? X Twitter? Follow me at Flames Forums. Just do it.
Right? You're on the socials.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, X, Threads, Instagram. Under some amalgamation of Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. And Brock, I have something very important to say.
What?
I'm not a Sith, but I'd use the Force to bring you into my life.
Donuts.
Cash.
I do social media sometimes. You can find me possibly posting on X, Twitter, and or Instagram at Kyle Driver. I do have a merch store. You can find the links to the descriptions in either of those and peruse the one, maybe two designs I have, and hopefully a third coming soon.
Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit code Rocket Talk in the Fortnite shop. Buy all your Star Wars stuff. #EpicPartner. We'll see you all week long for all the variety of programming here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And back here next Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Tim, send us home.
Well, everybody, hope you have yourselves a great bloody week. Enjoy it, because that's what happens. Good night now.